we're talking about a comparison with the wineskin, because Jesus gave us a parable about the wineskin. And I'm sorry, tech team, but we're going to go to that scripture first, and then we'll pick up. Just give me a moment. What scripture in Luke? Where Jesus gave the parable of the wineskin. I'm flipping past it. Yep, and he spoke a parable unto them. It's Luke 5, verse 36. He spoke a parable to them. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If he does, then both the new maketh a rent, and the plate piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with it, the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. You don't put new wine in old wine bottles or in old wine skins. And we're going to talk in parallel to that. God's not going to put new revelations into an old way of thinking. So if we want the new revelation, we're going to have to change the way we think. And the reason is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to share this in several translations. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Amplified Bible says it says, therefore, if any person is engrafted into Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Then I came across a translation called the Wade New Testament, W-A-D-E. So if anyone becomes united to Christ, he is a fresh creation. Listen to this. The original conditions have passed away. Mark, they have been replaced by new conditions. Everything we used to be about passed away. They've been replaced. And the God's Word translation says, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creature. Creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. And the thing that we, one of the things we need to understand about that passage of scripture, what it's saying, a new way of living is now presented to us, not forced on us. People have asked me a question, how come when I receive Christ, I still have the same feelings? It's because your mind hasn't been renewed yet. You receive Christ, now you have the capabilities to renew your mind, but now your mind has to be renewed. You have to make a conscious choice to read your Bible, to spend time in prayer, to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. God's not going to force that on us. So we need to understand that scripture because it is foundational. And when we became new creatures in Christ Jesus, everything about us is supposed to reflect the newness that we received. Everything should reflect the newness that we've received. It's been placed, it's available to us. All we have to do is receive it. That's all we have to do. Romans 6. Says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as the Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. we also should walk in newness of life. Choices there. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. See, when we received Christ as our Savior, much more took place than just forgiveness of sins and reserving our eternal mansion in heaven. We were given the ability to live a powerful life free from the dictates of sin. And we were able to do that because, as we saw in those four different versions of 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things are become new. The fresh and new has come. The original conditions have been replaced by new conditions. A new way of living has come into existence. A new way of living. That new way, as I said, it didn't just come and jump on us. It showed up and presented itself as a new way of living. But as I said earlier, it's something we have to receive. We have to agree with it. We have to make a choice that this is the new life that I want. And then we have to grab hold of it and everything it represents. Verse 6 says, could it, in the Passion Translation, Romans 6:6 says, could it be any clearer that our former identity is now forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so we would not continue to live any one moment longer submitted to sin's power. When we talk about new wine goes in new bottles, this new revelation that we got from 2 Corinthians 5:17 needs to be placed in a new way of thinking, in a new mindset, in a new building, so to speak. It can't go in the old one because it's not compatible. It's incompatible with the old way of life that we used to live. And if we want the full benefit of it, then we need to make sure that there's no trace of the old self. None. Because all things are new, the fresh and new has come. There are new conditions. There's a new way of living that's come into existence. And we need to make sure that we're ready to receive it. As I read earlier in Luke 5, verse 37, no one pours new wine into an old wineskin. If he does, the fresh wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled and the skins will be ruined, destroyed. We need to understand that when we don't do it God's way, and try and combine the old and the new, you won't be good to either side. And you need to remember what Jesus said concerning serving two masters. He said, no man can serve two masters. I don't care how good you think you are at finagling things. You can't put new wine into old bottles and expect to have something. Oh, it'll go in, but then it'll also be, both will be destroyed. It'll explode because it can't hold the power of the new. It can't hold it. New wine needs to be put into fresh wineskins. And we need to know where it says old things are passed away. The old things don't just pertain to our old self, but it pertains to everything that used to be about our old self. It's our old way of thinking, our old way of looking, acting, behaving, talking. All of that changed, and it doesn't fit in this vessel that's now a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old doesn't fit. So we have to force it in. We have to, really, we just about have to deny that we receive Christ in order to make everything fit. Because no man can serve two masters. God told us in Ezekiel 36 that he's going to give us a new heart. He said he'll put a new spirit within us. He said he'll take away the stony heart out of our flesh and give us a heart of flesh. In Hebrews 8:10, he said, "For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, my laws into their mind, my laws into their thinking, and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So God is pouring new wine. He's pouring revelation into our minds and our heart. It's our responsibility to make sure our hearts and minds are renewed so they can hold the new wine that's being poured into it. It's our responsibility to do that. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I'll read 1 and 2, King James Version. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You want to be in a place where you can hold on to the new thing, the new work that's being done in you, or I should say that was done in you when you became a new creature in Christ. We want to hold on to that. We don't want to let it go. Now, I apologize if this sounds choppy. For some reason, the font on this passage of scripture changed. So it's not nice and clear and double spaced the way I put it so I can read it here clearly. But Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 24 in the Passion Translation. "So with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say, you should not walk like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. They're blinded. Understanding the deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God." When you're playing around with the old in an old vessel, you're being kept from the true knowledge of God. It says, "Because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsession. But this is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded with you. If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard his truth, it will be seen in your life." It should be seen in our life that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. That should be seen. "For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus, and he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that sprung from delusions." Verse 23. "Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you." Hold your place there for a moment. God is pouring out the new wine, and he's giving out revelation knowledge. Two questions came to mind when I was reading that. One, the new revelation that he's pouring out, are we taking it in? And two, where is it being housed? Are we taking it in and putting it in into new wineskins? Or are we trying to make it compatible to our old way of thinking? If it's trapped inside the old wineskin, it's held in check by legalism. Listen to this. Legalism, preferences, and traditions is what fills your old wineskin. Legalism, preference, and traditions. And it'll eventually explode because the new revelations and the old man are incompatible. And incompatible means unable to exist together in harmony. So anytime, and well, going back to the parable Jesus said, you put new wine into an old bottle, the fermentation process of the new wine will cause that old wineskin to expand, and it can't stand the expansion, can't handle it, so it will explode. And you'll lose both. Too many times when we try and get the new revelation, take the new revelation that God gave us and put it in our old way of thinking, everything seems to just explode and nothing seems to go right. Well, it can't go right because they're incompatible. It's like trying to put the proverbial square peg into the round hole. You could get it to fit, but you got to take a little sledgehammer and pound that sucker in, and it's never going to stay intact. It's going to, pieces of something is going to fall off in order for it to fit. Legalism, preference, and traditions, which will eventually explode because the new revelations and the old man are incompatible, unable to exist together in harmony. This new wine must be put into a new wineskin. Verse 24 says, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of holiness. We now belong to Christ. We now belong to God in the realm of holiness. Let's think about that one for a moment. We belong to him in the realm of true holiness. Why does it have to be a new wineskin? Well, because the old way of living, we couldn't be holy. So how can we go, how can we be with God in a realm of holiness and we can't be holy? Because we don't have the Christ in us. We had to get to have to get the Christ in us and adopt that lifestyle. And then we join with him, we live with him in the realm of true holiness. True holiness. That's why we have to be new wineskins, and we need to be filled with new wine. And I want to get to what the new wine, the ingredients of the new wine, but I'm not going to be able to do that this evening. Colossians 3, verse 10 to 12 in the Passion Translation, says, for you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, education, or economic status. They matter nothing. They matter nothing, for it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. So who we are, what we accomplish, or what we think we've accomplished, it matters. It doesn't matter. The scripture says it matters nothing. Our education, ethnicity, status, it's Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. Now, he's not going to dwell in an old wineskin because it's not compatible with him. It has to be a new wineskin so that he can dwell with us. I remember talking, I came across an old friend. When I say old friend, I mean someone from my BC days, my before Christ days. When he never knew my name was Gregory, he thought my name was Foots. I don't know how he thought it was spelled, but that's what he thought. And in talking with him, he said, you're nothing like you used to be. I said, no, I'm not. He said, well, do you at least remember? I said, well, I remember some of the things that I did. And some of them I wish I could take back and redo, but I can't. But no, the attitudes that I used to have, the way I would analyze things or talk about things or handle things, is totally different. And when I talk with people and let them know, yeah, there was another version of me at one time, they can't see it. I'm happy about that. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy they can't see it. But the reason they can't see it is I got rid of that old container. I'm a new container, and I'm filling myself with new revelation as to who I am in Christ. Still filling myself with it because I don't know everything. I don't know everything. I know what I know based on what God has shared with me. And let me take a side journey. This keeps popping up. As a new creature in Christ, we've been given an assignment. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We're not to concern ourselves with whether or not that person is ready to receive what I have to say. We've already been commissioned to do that. Looking for acceptance of what we say before we say it is an old way of thinking. When we come across, well, say it this way. Most of you probably know, yeah, I had double knee replacement back in toward the middle of April. And I go to therapy to get the muscles re-strengthened and things around the knee replacement. And last week I was going to a session. And I like to get there early. And so I was there about 20 minutes early. I like to sit down, relax, get myself ready for the session. And the young lady that checks you in was talking to another woman that had come in and given her a gift. And she said to me, she said, Pastor? And I looked up, said, yes. She said, will you pray for that woman that just left here? And I said, why? She said, well, she has cancer. And I said, sure, I'll pray for her. I'm thinking in my normal prayer time, you know, when I'm praying or whenever she comes into my thinking, I pray for her. Next thing I know, the woman had gotten up, left her cubicle area, and went and got the woman and brought her to me. Now I'm getting ready for a therapy session, and they got strict time frames. I'm not thinking therapy session. I'm not thinking time frames. I'm thinking this woman needs deliverance. So I talked with her for a short bit because I wanted to just get to see where she was. And I said to her, I have to ask you a question. Just as the two blind men followed Jesus because they wanted him to heal them, and they walked into his house and Jesus asked them a question, do you believe I can do this? And they said, yes. And he said, become what you believe. I said, I'm asking you, do you believe? First I told her what's going to happen. I said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to lay my hands on you, and the cancer is going to leave your body. I said, that's what's going to happen. Do you believe I can do this? And she said, yes, I do. And so I laid my hands on her, and she said she felt this rush of heat come coursing into her body, and she started crying. And she hugged me, and she left, and I left. And I looked, and there was a crowd of people, small office. Maybe there were about six people, maybe seven in that crowd. But they were all there, and they looked at her leave, and they looked at me. And the billing agent that went and got her was thanking me. He said, oh, but I got into your session. I said, I don't care about the session. All I care about is that this young lady receives her healing. Why'd I tell you that? my old way of thinking would have been, check and see if I'm led to pray for her. Jesus already told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he told us these signs will follow those that believe. He didn't say, check with me before you lay hands on people. He commanded us to do it. So we do it. And we don't think about it. So I, from a 45-minute session, when it got started, now I'm down to maybe 10 minutes. And that's fine with me. I didn't pray God redeem the time. I didn't do any of that. I was too busy excited for this young woman. And then the therapist said to her assistant, do you have anybody after Pastor Carr leaves? He said, no. She said, well, I have someone, but will you do me a favor? And he said, sure, what? He said, I want Pastor Carr to get his full 45 minutes. So will you stay? And she rattled off some torture devices she wanted him to use on me. And she said, oh, I didn't ask. Can you stay an extra 15 to 20 minutes? I said, sure, I can stay. And so I did what God wanted to do and still got my full workout in, because my thoughts were new wine thoughts. My thoughts were, I'm a new wineskin. This is what's needed. This is what I do. And God already told me many years ago, I'll take care of you while you're doing what I tell you to do. So I need to make sure I'm always doing what he's told me to do. And my thinking, unless God says no, I'm going. Unless God says no, I'm laying hands, I'm praying, I'm casting out. And that needs to be the attitude of all of us, because we're new creatures. We have the life of Christ living inside of us, and we need to make sure that we're doing what he told us to do. He doesn't want to keep the life bottled up in us. People need to see. They need to see our good works. They need to see who we are, not hear about who we are. Yeah, I people ask me my name in these places. I always say Pastor Greg. I want them to know I'm a pastor, not to get preferential treatment. I want them to observe how a pastor lives their life, how a pastor talks, how a pastor works, because they come across a whole lot of people and everybody's not representative. Or I should say everyone doesn't present the right picture of who a person in Christ should be. I don't want anyone to look at me and say, if he's a Christian, I don't want to be like that. I want just the opposite. I want them to think, wow, they really are like Christ on the earth. I never knew that. That's what I want them to see. So I make sure. Well, as I said, one of the things that I can't do, I never really did, but if someone gets my order wrong in a supermarket, I can't yell at them. One time we were sitting in a restaurant, my wife and her children and grandchildren, and the server spilled beverages for six people all over our table. They were our beverages. And she just lost balance with the tray and just everything just dumped on our table. And she was horrified. And she looked at us and she looked at me and I said, do you have free refills? And she said, free refills? No, and she laughed and we all laughed. She said, I'm so sorry. I said, it's okay. I said, did you wake up this morning and say, when I go on my shift today, I'm gonna find a party of six and spill their drinks on them? She said, of course not. I said, it was an accident. And so she started cleaning the table and our daughter said, well, why don't we just sit at another table until you finish? And that's what we did. And we blessed her with a generous tip afterwards. And it turned out that this person was a former LCA student. And she looked at us, she said, I said to myself, that person looks like Mr. Carr. But you don't, you never know who you, who's going to cross your path. So you want to do everything the right way. And that's why I want to get to the place where we could talk about characteristics of new wineskins. But I will share verse 12. What are we leaving? Colossians 3. Verse 12 says, you are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you've been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Showing kindness towards all. Showing kindness towards all. Folks, we're all familiar with the scripture that says, judge not and you won't be judged. But yet we wind up judging people all the time. We have to start looking at people the same way God looks at them. And if you can't do that, then look at people the same way God looks at you. No matter what you do or what you've done, he never judges you. He never judges me. Judge not and you shall not be judged. If we're going to judge people, we're not going to minister to everybody. We're not going to be compassionate towards everybody. When you look at the situation with people in the street, living in the street, one of the things that a lot of people don't know, they say, well, I can just get a job. Well, it's not that simple sometimes, because in order to get a job, you have to have an address. And if you don't have an address, then you don't qualify for work, according to some of the paperwork that's required now to be filled out. So you have to get people an address. Now, there are organizations that allow homeless folks, people who are presently on the street, to allow them to use an address so they can get a job and then get their own apartment. But I don't know how it feels to be homeless. And I hope I never ever find out how it feels to be homeless. I don't know what that's like. I remember one time, my wife and I went to Walmart. And we went to a Walmart about 30, 35 miles away and came across a woman who was just cursing out everybody in the return line. I'm like, Lord, why do I have to listen to this? And he said to me, I want you to pray for her. He said, she just received some terrible news and I want you to, and she's frustrated. I want you to pray for her. And I'll admit, I tried to get out of it. I said, you know, I don't approach any women unless my wife is with me. He said, by the time you get over to her, Phyllis will be in the area. And I finished my business at the return counter, and I went looking for my wife, not this woman. But when I found Phyllis, now Minister Phyllis, the lady was about 3-4 feet away. And we walked over to her and told her, God said to pray for her. And she told us she had just been diagnosed with cancer. And she didn't know what to do. And then she looked at me and she said, I apologize for my language on the return line. I never said anything to her. That's what she said. We prayed with her. That concern, that fear left her. And she left the store smiling. We waved at her, God bless you, God bless you. New wineskins, filled with new wine. Now, I could have very, very easily just looked at that, oh Lord, but her mouth, I'm not going over near her because she'll curse me out. Don't want to pray for her. But my father said, pray for her. And being filled with new wine and being a new wineskin, I really only have one answer. Yes, Dad. We sing those songs, I'll say yes, Lord, yes to your will and to your way, but then we find ways to say no. That's not what new wine does, that's in a new wineskin. We show kindness towards all. We're gentle and humble, unoffendable in our patience with others. Those are some characteristics, and I'm going to unhook by just sharing this with you. I shared it on Sunday. It says, no one in Luke 5:39 in the Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic, said, no one after drinking old wine immediately desires new wine, for he says the old is good or better. That's a very real danger. One of the dangers, and it's like I said, it's very real, of hanging out in an old wineskin is there's no room for the new. We've all probably remember when we were children, some of us while we're adults, there are things that your parents wouldn't let you eat close to dinner because then it would spoil your dinner appetite. And you wouldn't need it. There'd be no room in your system for the right food. Well, when we dabble in darkness, when is there time for the light? Where is there room? When is there space? We have to devoid ourselves from darkness and spend all of our time in the light. And then we'll just want, once you're filled with light, you know what you want? You get to the place where you want more light and more light and more light to shine through you. It says, the darker the night, the brighter your light will shine, the lyrics to a song. And we want to get to the place where no matter where we go, people see our light. No matter where we show up, no matter what's going on, people can taste and see that we're new wine in a new wineskin. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to try and get to again on Sunday. I want to talk about the characteristics, what should be in that new wineskin. What are the ingredients? What comprises the new wine? I won't be able to tell you everything because I don't know everything, but there's a lot that we need to know because it's an expectation that Christ has for us, and we want to know that. We want to know that. So, Father, we just thank you for the revelation you gave to us this evening. Thank you for letting us know what's required. Since we're these new wineskins and we're filled with new wine and we're compatible with the new revelation that you've been giving your people, the new creatures that are in Christ. And we thank you that as we go through each day, the Holy Ghost will give us more and more revelation as to who we are and how we're to conduct ourselves as new wineskins filled with new wine. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, everything I told you was based on 2 Corinthians 5:17, being in Christ so you can be a new creation. It happens with being in Christ. And the way you get in Christ is very simple. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God shall raise him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's that simple. So I'm going to ask everyone to just make this confession. Won't take long. Father God, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. Jesus, I turn to you and I say, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you were buried and went to hell in my place, and I also believe that after you spent 3 days in hell, God raised you from the dead. So I ask you, come into my heart, into my life. I want to be a new wineskin filled with new wine. So But I've turned from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I'm turning wholly towards you. Make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friend, if you made that confession according to the word of God, you just got born again. Christ has moved in, and he's presenting you with being a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old you has just passed away. A new life is presenting itself to you, and you need to know how to take it and grow and develop. And so what we ask that you can do is you can just contact us. There are three ways to do that on the screen. We'll send you some free information as to who you become in Christ and what are the next steps for you. And if you have any questions about anything pertaining to your new life in Christ or the message we shared this evening, use the same means to contact us and we will respond. You call, we'll answer. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for the people that received your son this evening. And thank you that you'll lead them to a Bible-teaching church that are going to teach them the unadulterated truth of who you are and who they are as new creatures in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name.